Today we forge ahead in our study of Tractate Brachot, chapter prayer of the morning, Tefillat HaShachar, and we're going to look today at the Sugya Tefillas Arvis Rishos. Now, this is a Sugya we've touched on back in Chavav and Aleph, and we'll see a key Tosfot that arises in that context as well. It also takes us forward, really, to a well-known and fascinating, intriguing Agadic section, the famed story of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, surrounding the issue of Tefillas Arvis Rishos Rechova, and the famous incident in which Rabbi Gamliel requires Rabbi Yeshua to stand up and essentially degrade himself publicly, and then in turn the deposing of Rabbi Gamliel, that whole story. I'd actually like to turn to that, God willing, next week and look at that as sort of its own literary unit. But for now, I want to just sort of extract the halachic issues. Not that I believe that they're completely detached, as we'll see, God willing, next week. But for now, for the sake of artificiality and to look at the Sugya of Tefillat Arvis Rishos as its own study, to really consider that topic in particular. So let's read the beginning of the Agadah, and then we'll come back to the rest of the section next time, Be'ezrat Hashem. So the Gemara Brachot and the Chav Zayin Amud Beis cites the statement of the Mishnah that Tefillas Erev in La Kev, that the prayer of the evening has no set time or set parameters with regard to its recitation. So the Gemara asks, "My in la keva, what does that mean?" So the Gemara says, "Ile madibay matzli kuli leil yaif." It means that there is no set time in the sense that one can daven all night long. Listening, let it teach tefillah so erev kol halayla. Let it teach that the tefillah of the evening is all night long. What does it mean, in la keva? Elamai in la keva, command amr tefillah arvis rishos. Rather, the Mishnah means to follow the view that tefillah arvis is optional rather than mandatory. Damr Rabbi Yehuda amr Shmuel, tefillah arvis, Rabbi Gamliel omer chova, as the story continues, Rabbi Yehuda omer rishos. And then the Gemara concludes, amr Abaye halacha kedivre omer chova, v'rava amar halacha kedivre omer rishos. Now, just as an aside, there are some Rishonim, at least, who point out, including the Ran in particular, his commentary to the Rif, that when the Gemara says in la keva, and the Gemara interprets it, this means that tefillah service rishos, it doesn't only mean tefillah service rishos, rather it means also tefillah service rishos. In other words, the Gemara, or the Mishnah rather, really means to teach not one halacha, but rather two. Number one, its time is all night long. Yes, kol halayla. So why the Mishnah not simply say tefillah service kol halayla? So the answer is, it comes to teach us an additional point, namely that tefillah service rishos. The Ran, I think, is the simple reading of the Sugya, in the sense that all the lines in the Mishnah are all discussing the concluding time for each respective tefillah. So if the Gemara gives the Mishnah rather gives the end time for Shachar, Mincha, right, Musaf, and then comes to Maariv, and with regard to Maariv teaches a completely unrelated or separate halacha, namely that Tefillat Arvit Rishod, and has nothing to do with the timing, that seems a little bit unusual. So therefore it would seem that the Pashut is like the Ran. I don't know any Rishonim who explicitly disagree with him, that really it means to say that both are true. Now, are both true, and those are two completely unrelated halachot, or perhaps, and I think maybe likely, they're both true and they are connected in the sense that we are somewhat loose with regard to Zmani Maariv in particular, because Tefillat Arvit Rishot, is that a possibility? That's something that we'll have to explore. I think, given that it teaches both together in one phraseology of Tefillat HaErev in La Keva, I think it's quite likely. Something that we'll circle back to in a different sense, in particular in the Rambam, as we proceed. Okay, so what I'd like to do, just to add, so if you take a look at the continuation of this again, then the Rishonim, we generally assume as a matter of practical halacha that Tefillas Arvis Rishos. That's the way the Rambam has, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch baskins. I don't know of any Rishonim offhand who disagree. And that's the consensus as a matter of practical halacha. Now, if we just have the sugya here, then everything would be relatively straightforward. We have the question if it's optional or mandatory. The problem is that Tosfot and a number of other Rishonim, Tosfot, which we'll look at here in Brachot and Daf Chafav and Aleph, and Chagiga and Daf Ted and Mabet, in the sugya in Yuma and Daf Pei Zayin and Mabet, points out, and a number of other Rishonim pick up on this as well in the wake of Tosfot's comments, that we seem to have a little bit of a problem. Two apparent contradictions to the principle Tefillat Arvis Rishos that Tosfot raises from two sugyot right here in our chapter in Perek Tefillat HaShachar. The first comes from that sugya that we already saw. The one in Daf Chafav Amud Aleph, the halacha of Tashlumen. And Tosfos makes the point that the entire notion that one who misses Tfilat Arvit must make it up at Shacharit and daven Shacharit twice would seem quite unusual if we take for granted that Tfilat Arvit, right, is Rishut. After all, if you didn't have to say the Tfilat to begin with, it's quite difficult to imagine that I have to make it up. That seems unusual. Maybe I have the opportunity to make it up, but to say that I'm required to make it up seems quite difficult. So Tosfos question number one is, how does the view that Tfilat Arvit Rishut, which seems to be the operative view halacha lemaase, seems to be normative, how does that fit with the sugya on daf chaf amud aleph, question number one. And Tosfos asks another question from the Gemara at the sort of the polar opposite. The Tosfos asks basically questions that envelope the sugyot in our peret. The Gemara daf lamed omud bet, at the end of peret tefilat hashachar, the Gemara explains that one who omits Rosh Chodesh, or Yalav Yavo rather, on at Mariv of Rosh Chodesh, so we know that the halacha is that such an individual need not make up, need not repeat Shmona Esrei. Why? So the Gemara explains, Lefi She'en Mekadshin Esachodesh Balayla. Right? Because Beis Din did not sanctify the new month, right? The moon on Rosh Chodesh, and somehow, it's a strange Gemara which requires its own explanation, but somehow that accounts for some, it's on the one hand we say Yalav Yavo, but it's not a full-fledged Rosh Chodesh in the sense that if one omits Yalav Yavo, he or she need not repeat Shmona Esrei. Now, Tosfos says that's all very nice and good, but it would seem that if one misses Shmona Esrei at night on Rosh Chodesh, right, that there's a more basic reason that you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. The answer is that you never had to say it to begin with. Right? If we assume the Tfilat Arvit Rishut, so then of course I don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Maybe I have the right to repeat Shmona Esrei, maybe I don't have the right to repeat Shmona Esrei, but the obligation to repeat Shmona Esrei. So according to the Man D'Amar, the Tfilat Arvit Rishut, why does the Gemara have to come on to this explanation? The reason why I don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei is because I never had to begin it to say it to begin with. So the Tosfos has two questions. Now, one could have read the Gemara as saying that one doesn't have the right or the halachic ability to repeat Shmona Esrei. That would be fine. But Tosfos' point, I think, is well taken in the sense that that's not sort of the face reading of the Gemara. Just like it's not with regard to Tashlumin. Just like with regard to Tashlumin, it would seem that the Gemara is treating Arvit equally to Shacharit and Mincha. So to here, with regard to Yalav Yavo at night, it sounds like sort of the straightforward reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying that you really are not required to repeat Shmona Esrei. And if that's the case, says Tosfos, it's difficult to understand how to read that sugya as well in light of the view that Tfilat Arvit Rishut. So those are Tosfos' two questions. And we're going to see three basic answers among the Rishonim. Yeah. Okay, as wish. So we're going to start with the least well-known position, which I cited here from the Shita Mekubetzes in Brachot. Of course, the printed Shita Mekubetzes that it was later discovered is in fact none other than the Ritva. In fact, I had a whole conversation with some of the people at Sephardia whether they're doing the right thing by calling it Shita Mekubetzes now that we know that the author is the Ritva. We had an interesting back and forth about that. The Bar Ilan CD calls it Shita Mekubetzes as well, which is really interesting. So I'm not so sure, but there's some conversations. There are other things, like there are shuvos that were miuchasot to the Ramban that we now know were written by the Rashba. So what do you do with those? So there, the Bar Ilan calls them shuvot hamiuchasot l'haramban. There's a different collection, the Rashba's classic shuvos, so that's how they deal with it there, which I think, at least there, you're saying it's miuchas, but in fact, we now know. And there are other svarim as well, but it's now... Now well-known Ashkafic Svarim from the time of the Rishonim and many other works as well. That's a larger discussion. Be that as it may, whether you call it the Ritva or the Shita Mekubetzes, and really one of the prime Talmidim of the, excuse me, Rebbeim rather, of the Ritva, the Ra'a, who also has a classic commentary on Brachot. It's one of my favorite Mefarshim on Brachot. We haven't cited it so much in Tfilat Shachar. I don't think there's a ton of material. There's some, but especially in the sixth parak and elsewhere, there's really a motherload, really a treasure trove of material in the Ra'a, who is either the author of or the brother of the author of Sefer Chinuch, just for the sake of context. But the Ra'a says the same thing as the Ritva here. And essentially what they say is one big inachinami. And again, this is the least well known. In fact, in many of the summaries of the sugyot that I've seen, people generally don't quote this as one of the resolutions to this question. I think it is. I think it's just overlooked. Essentially, what they say is in hachinami. That, in other words, basically, yeah, the sugya and daf chovam alaf and the sugya and daf lamed omer bet are only according to the view that tefillat arvit chova. That's what we're taking for granted. But according to the man omer tefillat arvit rishut, in hachinami there would be no obligation of tashlum. In hachinami, there would be in Achinami, you would not need to repeat Shemona Esrei at night, not because of Lefishim Kachin Eschosh Balayla, but simply because Filas Arvis Rishos. In the language of the Ridva here, Perush Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nochis Hashel Leflugta Dit Filas Arvis Rishos Ochova, Vikatani Milse Kemando Amar Chova. Whereas here he follows the view that Filas Arvis Chova, Aval Mandar Mershos, right? And essentially in Achinami, that Lo Bayit Hashum in Klau, Zihi Gufa Rishos, and gets into Sugya Yuma that I'm going to leave aside for the purposes of time, but that's essentially his answer. So that's one approach, is to say in Achinami, and that's in sharp contrast, as we'll see momentarily, to the resolutions offered by Tosfot on the one hand, and the Rif, really citing the Bahag, on the other. Okay, so let's take a look at Tosos. There are multiple Tosos in that address. Let's start with the one Alatar and our Sukkot, and that Chovel Menalot Masalta says Tosos the Imtom V'Amar Rav the Kaman to Asarvis Rishos the Kaimalam Kavase BiYisurei the Od Kasha the Amar the Kaman Tav Lo Spal Yal V'Yavo Balayla Machzir and So Mishundi Even Kachin Skorish Balayla the Lama Le Haytaima typically the Tfilas Arvis Rishos, as we have already said, the two questions of Tosos. So comes on Tosos and answers with the following Yisod the Yesh Lomar. That which we say that it is optional, all that means is that Hainu legabe mitzvah acheres v'hi overes. Says Tosos, it's not really rishus. It's not really fully optional. What it means is that relative to a competing mitzvah, it is less weighty, right? It is secondary. It is nidche by mitzvah overe. If I have two mitzvah, and if I don't fulfill both of them right now at the same time, I have to choose between, and therefore I have to choose between them. So the other mitzvah takes precedence. The way that Tosfos says it elsewhere is that it's an obligation to say Mariv unless there is an ones ktsas. So again, apparently this is an ones, some sort of a dire circumstance that wouldn't necessarily exempt us from full-fledged mitzvah, but from something of just a cut below that, the status of Tilat Arvit Rishut, so there already it's going to be Nidcha. Right, so that's the Chiddush of Tosos. So Yishlamar, Hod Amrin Tvila Sarvis, Rishus Hanin Lugabe Mitzvah Acheret Vihio Vere, Da'az Amrinan Tidachet Tvilas Arvis Mipaneha, Aval Lechinam Ein Lo Levapa. Right? You shouldn't just leave it out entirely if there's no justification whatsoever, per se, for doing so. Right? So Tosos is answer. You want to know about the Gemara Nachav Amin Aleph? Yeah. You're obligated to say a Mariv. And therefore, there's obligated to say Tashlumin. Unless there's a mitzvah, Charad, Biovara, and so on. Okay, fine. But all things being equal, the Chinam, in the Levadla, it's halachically mandatory to say it. Same thing on Daf Lamed Amaret, right? So I would be required to say Shemona Esrei, right? Unless, if not for the fact, that in Mikachin is a Chodesh Balayla.
That's a good answer, but I have a very hard time believing that that's what Gemara means. That's what, like, they meant, whoever, Kimar Amar. That's what he meant originally, Rishus.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
that's
like,
not rubbing up what that word means. Like,
uh-huh. I thought you were going to also say, no, I think it's fair. They're also going to say that Rabbi Gamliel got so upset at him over, you know, I was like, it's not like he said you don't have to daven Mariv, right? All he said is, no, if you're in a pickle, yeah, so then, you know, what are you going to say? What are you going to do?
Right, it sounds like that's a little bit of a
stretch.
Stretch of explaining Rishus.
Right. Now, as a Talmud of Rav Lichtenstein, I would cite to you, I don't think it really answers the question fully, but I would cite to you that he's pointed out that often when we think of Rishut, we think of something that is sort of value neutral. And it's clear from the Sugya Tfilah Arvit Rishut and many other contexts in Shas and in halachic literature that something that's Rishut, right, something that is optional, isn't necessarily lacking in value. So in other words, even according to, let's say, the Ritva's Tfilah Arvit Rishut, right, if I daven, you're going to say God couldn't care less? Right, obviously, right? There's value. So he would say, not that it's a full answer to your question, but it just it at least makes it maybe a little bit more comfortable in the sense that Rishus is sort of moves it a little bit closer along that spectrum to saying something like Tosos. And it's a really, really, really good thing to do no matter what. And the difference between a really, really, really good thing to do no matter what, even according to the Ritva, and to say it's something you have to do, but it's relatively easy for it to be Nidche, although those are different, and therefore your question stands, I don't mean to resolve it entirely, but I think maybe thinking about it along a spectrum helps a little bit. But yes, all that said, I still think that there's a job. There's no question about it. And perhaps that's part of what motivated the third answer that we find, already from the Gaonim, but then cited by the Rishonim. So for example, if you take a look at the Rif in... on Daf Yutesan Al Pedape Harif, in Brachot, the Kaimalanda Halacha Karavu, we pass in like Rama to our service to Shos, Mihu, Hani Milihi Chayed Lot Salile Klal. That's only true where one has not previously davened this prayer at all. That's his language, at least. Aval, however, hecha ditzalile tfilas arvis, where one has davened tfilas arvis, kivar shavya ale chova, one has already accepted it upon himself as a chova, v'itai hadar l'resha kidamrinan daf lamed amud ben. And if he makes a mistake, he has to say it again, as we say in the Gemara about Yalav Yavo. So in other words, you already see that he's trying to answer at least the second question of Tosos. And another Rishonim, the way that they present the Shita of the Behag is as a way of resolving both questions of Tosos. You can use it to answer Tashlumin. The answer basically would be that Tfilas Arvis Rishus was essentially true at a prior stage in the history of Halacha. You have to make certain historical assumptions in the Sugyot, which I don't know if I have the academic background to do that, and I certainly haven't done the work. So I haven't worked it through, but at least the claim here of the Behag is that Tfilat Arvit Rishut maybe means something like the Ritva said, right? In other words, right, the Rishut. What about the Sugan Daf Lamed Aleph? What about the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Bet? Not like the Ritva, that those are only Aliba de Mandamar Tfilat Arvit Chova. Rather, no, even the Mandamar Tfilat Arvit Rishut can explain those Sugot as well. How? Not because it was always a chova, but rather now that one has accepted it upon himself to daven, so then it becomes transformed into something that is obligatory.
We're talking communally, not individually.
Good. So now there are a whole host of questions that need to be discussed. And what I'd like to do is to spend pretty much the rest of our time sort of taking the shita of the Behag and digging deeper into the parameters of his position. Yeah.
So this might be a slightly different, maybe a fourth kind of answer. If it's reshut, but once you do it, you have to do it this way. So,
what do you mean? Once you do it,
what Maariv reshut? Once you daven Maariv, it's as
that evening.
That evening, you have to do it exactly according to this way, which means with Yalev Yavo, you know.
But let's just assume for the sake of argument that I wasn't Yotzei Shemona Esrei. This touches a little bit maybe on what we discussed earlier. Are Yotzei Shemona Esrei without Yalav Yavo, or are you not Yotzei at all? The 2 day about Tashlumen, right? If you're going to Motzei Shabbos, the Tosfos, right? All that. But let's assume for the sake of argument that you're not Yotzei without Yalav Yavo at all. So then I didn't daven yet. So what obligates me to daven again?
The fact that you
started
tried to.
That I tried
to. You did it, but you did it wrong.
Why does that obligate me?
Because you've already taken the first step. You have two paths. Either you do it or you don't. And once you start on this one, you have to go it all the way to the end.
Okay, so then So that could either be seen as sort of a different answer, or it could be sort of a variation on what the Behag is saying. That maybe the Behag is talking about your general practice, and this is talking about my practice right now, in an immediate sense. Interesting. It's interesting that's not an answer that's classically given. I'm trying to think why not. Maybe there's some who thought that it's as if you didn't say Shon Asrei at all. So what does that mean, that you obligated yourself if you didn't really halachically daven? That might be, or maybe they felt that it's not enough to establish. In other words, yes, maybe there are two tracks, but in order to adopt a track, it's not enough for me to just behave in a certain way right now. But sort of, there's a sort of a pattern that's, or prior behavior that's required.
Yeah,
I'm wondering. I don't know. Good, but I think it sounds plausible. I'm just wondering why it wasn't classically suggested. Good. Okay. Very interesting. Thank you. Okay. So now just to point out, Tosfot also quotes this answer in Chagiga on Daf Tes Ambes, where sort of a very similar discussion in Tosfot. He asked the two questions, and he explains what he had explained. And here he says it about Hainu Ones Ktsas, right? That if there's Ones Ktsas, then you're already off the hook in that case. And then if you take a look, four lines from the bottom of source hey. First one line, Velo Kefirish Halacho Kedela. Right? So unlike the Bahag, Shapirsha, who explained it, i.e. the Sugya, Da'af Mandam Rashud, Ishav Yalechova, Havya Kechova. Vihalasa Antosus rejects the position of the Bahag, Dmi Lo Askinan Bahachi, Shikvar Spell, Bishar Lelos. And so on and so forth. So that's a very obvious question in the Bahag that should be noted as well. Right? In other words, the Bahag is asserting that when the Gemara talks about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are having their arguments, and all these sugya, when the Gemara raises the issue of Tfilat Arbit Rishut versus Chova, so what are we assuming? We're talking about someone who didn't previously daven on a regular basis? And like all of a sudden, I decided to daven, and now we have the machloka. But the machloka, Rabbi Yoshua and Gamliel, was limited to a case of someone who had never davened before, and all of a sudden discovered, you know, while I'm in Hashemayim, that there's this thing called Mariv at age 34 or whatever. I mean, it just seems a little bit unusual. So while it's plausible, and you know, I don't know, maybe tefillot weren't as structured then as they are now, right? Certainly, tefillin wasn't practiced in the same way that it is now, at least during major parts of the Bali Atosfa. So it's possible that things were different, but it seems a little bit then to retrodeck that all the way back in times of Gemara, that's possible, but it also seems a little bit unusual to sort of delimit these debates to just that narrow situation of someone who all of a sudden decided to accept it upon himself. Yeah.
I once heard an academic explanation of Rashud that it wasn't, you didn't do Mar, you don't do Mar, but you can leave this if you don't need it. But Shema was always obligatory. So there's always the Shema with the bracha before and the bracha after. Mm-hmm. And the Rashud was, if you agree, one option was to say Shema and to end with Hashkiveinu, mm-hmm. which is like, I'm going to sleep right now. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It would out an Amidah. And the other option was to do a full Amidah if you're not going to sleep right yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe in the place of Hashkiveinu. And mm-hmm. Hashkiveinu could be. And that was a good Rashud. Mm-hmm.
What's the. I don't see why it's objectionable at all.
So again, I don't know if there's historical proofs for saying that.
Where was the source for?
Rav Shlomo Lovitz was speaking mm-hmm. about it in the conversation. I didn't read it.
Can you follow up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you mind? Yeah. All right. Let me know. Be curious to your sources. Awesome. You know what you can ask? You can ask Rav Tabori's brother, whom I don't really know, Rav Tabori from Gush. His brother is a huge scholar of tefillah. He's written authoritative works on it, and he's really good. So he'd be an interesting person to ask as well. Okay. Alright, so what I'd like to do, as I said, is that now that we have these basic questions and we have three possible resolutions in Rishonim, I'd like to spend a little bit of time addressing, in particular exploring in greater depth the position of the Bahag. We're a little bit limited in time, so I'm going to probably share most of it outside. There are a number of key questions which I'd like to explore within this position on the basis of a number of views, especially as discussed among the late Rishonim and the Acharonim. Certainly there's the question of how much time one needs to have daven prior. From the Rif, it sounds like someone who davened klal at all has already accepted his non-obligation. The Rambam doesn't quite say it that way. Is it as an individual? Is it as a community? Is it either one? Right? What does does it take to rise to the level of making this into a chiyuv? In other words, if you don't accept Adam's suggestion that even that evening you can sort of take that track, so then how much and on what authority does one now become, has accepted this upon oneself as a chiyuv? There are a lot of diyukim that are shown about this issue, and because of time I'm not going to get into it, but I just want to observe that these are questions that come up. That's point number one. Point number two is there's a fascinating series of debates about other applications of the Shita of the Bahag to other areas of halacha, which I think reflect a really fundamental and interesting kinds of debate. The first one is Chiddush of the Magen Avraham that he makes not only once, but really in two different contexts. He makes it twice, and at least in one of those cases, there's pushback from the Minchas Chinuch and elsewhere in another context, in a sense, from the Derech Moshe, from the Ramah. The first concept of Magen Avraham is in Siman Tav Pei Tes, so just about in Yom Ziyoma, namely in context of Sfirat HaOmer. So we know the halacha is that despite an outlier apparent shita of the Ramban in Kiddushin seems to say that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer. The predominant view follows the Rambam, and that indeed is the Pesach HaShulchan Aruch, that women are fundamentally exempt from Sfirat HaOmer on the basis of it being a mitzvah asei she'azman grama. The Ramban was so puzzling that Reb Chaim claimed that it's a Tos Sofrem and it's an incorrect Girsa. The many Achronim have some really interesting and important explanations for that Ramban, by not discarding it or chalking it up to a mistaken Girsa. There's more to say about that another time. Taking for granted that women are indeed exempted from the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer. So the question is, what about Bezman Hazes? The Pasha says, what do you mean they're exempt? But the Magen Avraham comes along, Sim Pei Tes, Tav Pei Tet rather, and writes as follows, that Nashim Tos Misfira Dehavi Mitzvah Sasesha Azman Grama, and quotes the Rambam of the Zohar Tavu. Okay, and take that, the Ramban. And then he says, Umihu Kvar Shavya Lahu Chova. However, women have already accepted this. They all have their charts on their refrigerators, which of course they all had it back in the time of the Magen Avraham, and they check them off, right? They have their apps and the whole nine yards. They have their texting reminders, right? And so clearly, says the Magen Avraham, all the women in our generation have accepted this as obligatory. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shinvav in context of Sfirat Omer and quotes the position of the Magen Avraham. He says, "V'davar zet zorach yon, v'davar chadash, did nashim im kibul aleihem laso mitzvah sasei shem turim yischayvu mipnei deshavila yuchova v'lo ra'isi ki mishu makom." I've never seen such a thing. We don't demo tefillas arvis. Says it's not similar to, it's dissimilar to the Shita of the Bahag. The Shita of the Bahag, by the way, is generally accepted halacha l'masa. He says that's different. Ayin barishonim. V'chan yeshio sashaluhu laso mitzvah shazman grama. Number one, some say now that I said do or at least say a bracha on mitzvah sasei shazman grama, right? The Shita of the Chachmei Svarad, right? L'chuli alma, he says, and Rashi as well, actually. L'chuli alma inu mitzvah klal v'heyach yishav yachova v'liyadah. So says the Minchas Chinuch, a fascinating thing. He said that line, to me, the most interesting line, is L'chuli alma ino mitzvah klal. What does that mean? He apparently thinks that the Ramban is not a legitimate shita. Let's just take that for granted. That's davar pasha, that women are exempted. So he's saying like this. When it comes to tefillah service for sure, so there already we have a machlokas in the sugyot. So it's one thing to say, the Bahag says, you can accept something as mandatory, right? So there's a debate in the sugya. And basically, essentially what I'm doing is I'm siding with one of those positions. I guess we're going to have to continue next week to finish this up. So that's one situation. The Minchas Chinuch says, but it's a completely different scenario entirely when essentially everyone agrees, let's just assume, that women are exempted from this particular application, right? But what?
And then they want to decide to take
right?
it on.
And then they're going to decide to take it on.
It's
right?
That's a machloket that's creating a new...
It's creating a new position. So basically the consensus, clear, overwhelming, or unanimous consensus, essentially. It's not a consensus. The unanimous position is one way. And I say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks, halacha. I'm over there. I'm going to do my own thing. Right? So you sort of see what the issues might be. So Magen Avraham says, yeah, right? Minchas Chinuch says, no, that's a completely different kind of thing. And it's interesting, just to point out, there's one other Magen Avraham, I have to analyze this and elaborate, God willing, next week. But the Magen Avraham actually says that, suggests similarly, talking about two tracks. Right? So he discusses the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which says that although we generally have the practice to say 10, to recite, to refer to 10 psukim in Musaf for Rosh Hashanah for each of Malchiel, Zechor, and Shofar respectively, the Gemara actually says explicitly, black on white, if you say just one, that's okay. One pasuk each, you're Yotzei. Right, it's Mefarsh in the Sugya, Mefarsh in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So Megarim says, yeah, except that if you decide to say, if you've previously said Pem Sugim Ish in Malchiel, Zechonon, and Shofra, you've accepted it as a Chova, and you can no longer say just one. So we're going to have to discuss that next week, I'd like. So again, the Magen says that. Another Achonim said, no, what are you talking about? It's Mefarsh in the Gemara. No one disagrees that you can say just one Pasuk in your Yotzei. So what does that mean? I'm Machmir against the unanimous Shita in the Gemara? Makes no sense. Okay? So it's like almost a Baltosev issue. Good. So next time, we're going to have to discuss exactly this issue. What's the basis?